So this Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. What does that mean? Well, Pentecost, the word is a Greek word that literally means just 50th day. Pentecost, 50th day. So what is it the 50th day of? It is the 50th day after Easter that we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, and therefore we call it the birthday of the church. And of course, why the birthday? The birthday of the church, every birthday is a celebration of life into the world. And so in the history of salvation, we have first revealed God as Father. So the Jewish people understood there's one God. And then eventually we have Jesus Christ born into the world. We now know there's one God with two persons. And then finally, when Pentecost happens, the 50th day after Easter, we now have the revelation of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Now we have the fullness of truth. And this breathing on the Holy Spirit is very important, because only twice in the entire Bible does God ever breathe into something. The first time is in Genesis, when God breathes into dust and creates man. And then secondly, in this gospel, when God breathes into man and gives the Holy Spirit. And then there's that famous imagery from the first reading where the apostles are together and the tongues of fire come upon their head. I'm sure each one of us in religious education as a kid maybe drew that picture, a little tongue of fire above the heads of the apostles. And then they go out and they're so enlivened with the Holy Spirit that they're just preaching out, everyone at the same time. All 12 of them are preaching, and all the people are amazed. And they're confused because they say, wait, I'm from this area, you're from here, I'm from here. And we all understand what's happening. It would be as if I was preaching right now, and there's a person from America, a person from Germany, a person from France, from Mexico, from Spain, all only speaking one language and all understanding what I was saying. And so naturally, we don't hear it in that reading, but if we continue the first reading, some people stand up and they point to the apostles and they say, these men are intoxicated. They're drunk. They're crazy people. What are they talking about? And Peter steps forward and he says, we're not intoxicated. It's 9 a.m. He says, we are intoxicated on the Holy Spirit. We are intoxicated by the Holy Spirit. And so the question today is, are we intoxicated by the Holy Spirit? Has it so consumed our life that we are enlivened, inflamed with His life? And so this idea of being inflamed by the Holy Spirit on this birthday of the church, we have to recognize what inflames us and what gives us this new life. And so naturally, what happens on every birthday? When we celebrate a birthday, typically there might be a party. There's maybe a cake. And there's gifts. And so we know this. When a baby's born on their first birthday, even though the child has no idea what's going on, what do? Lavish them in gifts. And this continues by the time they're 2, 3, 4. They understand, my birthday's coming up. I'm going to get a ton of gifts. And so the child gets so excited for what two things? The cake, and especially the gifts. And then when the child's like 7 or 8, they open those gifts like at the end of the world depends on them opening them. Because they're so excited to open the gift they received. And this continues into teenage years and older. And then eventually in your 20s, 30s, 40s, you stop getting gifts. But then eventually, once you hit 50, and then the 60 and 70, the gifts come back. Right on these like landmark years, you get gifts again. And then what happens if you keep going the marathon of life? Like I have a great aunt, 96 now. Once she turned 90, every year there's a party. Every year there's a cake, and every year there's gifts. And even she, every birthday, says, I never know when it's my last. And so praise God for the gifts. And a couple of years ago, on her birthday, we had a big celebration for her. And she said, "This year, I don't want any gifts." She says, "I'm too old. I've got so much stuff, what else do I need?" And she said, "If you come to my house with a gift, you will either have to leave it in the car or at the doorstep. I don't want it." And so we all came over without gifts. And near the part of the party where you would give gifts after the cake, she came out with all these presents. And she gave them to everyone else. And you see, that's the reality, that moment when a child's very young and then maybe when a person's very elderly, recognizing that for that one-year-old, yeah, the gift's for them, but it's more just the fact that we love giving gifts. And then there's that moment when you're maybe in your 90s or older where you're like, again, I don't want a gift, I want to give it. And so on the very birthday of the church, what happens is that God gives each one of us miraculous gifts. And so today on this Pentecost, we should be excited for this. Because we see in Scripture that we recognize those gifts of wisdom, knowledge, peace, fear of the Lord, fortitude, strength. And then there's these supernatural gifts, which we hear about in the Scripture, which is gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy, knowledge, this speaking in tongues and interpreting. So what are those things and where have we seen them? So I just want to talk about one saint very briefly who had miraculous gifts. You might have heard of him, hopefully you have. His name is Saint Padre Pio. He was recently died in 1968, not too long ago. You can Google him, see videos and pictures of him. And he was born as a young Italian boy. And at a very young age, he already had supernatural gifts. At the age of 7 or 8, he was able to communicate with his guardian angel. He would see Jesus and the Blessed Mother and communicate with them. And not until about that age of 8 or 9 did he realize this was out of the norm. He was one day speaking to a religious priest, and the priest said, "Little Francesco, can you pray for me?" And Padre Pio said, "Yeah, I'll speak to Mary and my guardian angel later tonight when I see them." And the priest said, "Oh, that's cute. Little kid telling me he's going to pray for me." And Francesco said, "No, I'm really going to see Mary later." And so eventually he started realizing these gifts I have are different. And as he grew up, he eventually became a priest. And as a priest, he had insanely supernatural gifts. He had the gift of knowledge in the confessional, where he could read people's souls. And so he knew exactly their situation. And he also knew if you forgot a sin or left one out, he would know the sin you were forgetting. His ministry of reconciliation became so big that the lines would go out the door for weeks and he would hear 16 hours of confession a day. He also had what we called a stigmata, which has only happened to a few people in the history of the church. And so for 50 years of his life, he had the physical wounds of Jesus on his hands, his feet, and his side. He bled for 50 years, the actual wounds. And the doctors couldn't explain what it was. He also had the gift at times of levitation. Sounds insane. But he was so filled with the Holy Spirit at times during Mass that he would begin to lift off the ground. He also had the gift of bilocation, which this one can sound really crazy. But the gift of bilocation is being in two places at one time. And so he would go often to this church called St. Michael the Archangel. And there's one part in his late 80s that he was very sick and could not leave the monastery. And people said that they would still see him at that daily Mass celebrating, being in two places at one time. And the most famous story of this was during World War II. He had promised his hometown growing up that they would never be bombed in the war, that he would protect them with prayers. So one day, the government was going in to drop a bomb on his hometown. And this story comes from the actual fighter pilot who flew the plane. He said he went up to go this mission to drop the bomb. And he said as he was flying, about to push the eject button, he saw an older man priest in robes in the clouds, pointing in the opposite direction. And he said, when I tried to push the button, the bombs jammed. He said, I went to confession in the following weeks to this man I had heard about, Pio, because I had had a conversion in that moment and wanted to no longer be in the war. And he said, when I went to confession, I saw that man that I had seen as I was in the sky. Again, this gift of levitation by location. These miracles of Padre Pio not only happened in his lifetime, but even after death. And so 40 years after he died, they dug up his body. This happens when someone's canonized a saint. They'll often exhume their body, see if anything's miraculous. And when they opened the casket, Padre Pio had not decayed. So he still had all his skin and his hair. You can type this into Google. It looks like he's sleeping. And so, in fact, in 2008, I was blessed to go to Rome and see him deceased in a glass casket. And there he was, looking like he's sleeping, all his hair, his beard, his skin. Miraculous, supernatural. And if you tell this to people who might not have faith, they could say, you're crazy. Are you intoxicated? Are you insane? And so I think here's the question for each one of us. If we've all received the same Holy Spirit, because there's not anything different between us and Padre Pio, we all have the same Holy Spirit, what sets us apart? Well, let's end here with the greatest saint, which is Mary. Did she ever levitate? We don't see it in the scripture. Did she read any souls? We don't know. But what we do know is she simply said yes. She brought a baby into the world, changed his diapers, fed him, said yes to him, and then watched him die. That's it. But it was because she had the flame of the Holy Spirit that everything she did transformed her life. And so we can't be afraid to recognize that it's in the very simple things that if we allow the Holy Spirit to show up and we simply say yes, that miraculous things happen. If tomorrow I told you I was going to present you with the baby Jesus, and all you had to do was care with him for a day, when you had to change that diaper, you would change a diaper like you never changed one before in your life. Because you would know I'm changing the diaper of God. If I told you that tomorrow you're going to care for an elderly Jesus who now is on the cross and all he needs is someone to give him a drink of water or to bathe him as he comes off the cross because he's so broken and dying, you would bathe that dying Jesus like you've never bathed an elderly person before. If I told you tomorrow Christ is coming to your home and you're going to eat a meal with him, you would cook that meal like you've never cooked it before. You would so be excited and zealous and you would be singing songs of songs as you cooked that meal, knowing that I'm setting the table for Christ. And you would tell everyone, you'd be so enlivened with that flame. And so I think for each one of us, today on Pentecost, we have to be challenged and recognize when I change that diaper, I am doing a holy thing. And if I say, God, let me see you in this moment, you will be enlivened. When you visit your sick parent or your sick spouse, when you set that table and just simply make a meal, if you ask the Holy Spirit to show up, incredible things will happen. And then maybe you'll go to work on Sunday. And someone will say to you, hey, how was your weekend? And you'll say, great, I made dinner for my family. I changed 20 diapers. I got barely any sleep. And I'm going to do that again today. And they're going to say, you're crazy. Are you intoxicated? And you're going to say, yes, I'm intoxicated by the flame of the Holy Spirit. And when we are set on fire, people see the flame that burns inside of us. If we can see the flame of God in the very simple things, then after that, miraculous things can happen. And maybe you can't read souls, maybe you can't heal people, but maybe just not yet. If you say yes to the dirty diaper, if you say yes to setting the table, you say yes to cooking, then one day maybe you can say yes to even greater things, to supernatural things, to gifts of prophecy, tongues, healing, for that's the power of the Holy Spirit.